Please turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. And we want to introduce our lesson by reading verses 1 and 2. Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. This morning we pointed out from Matthew chapter 20 that Jesus taught his followers to be servants. Remember that the Lord was approached by James and John with their mother, and they had a request. Their request was that they be allowed to sit on the Lord's right and left hands in his kingdom. And, of course, Jesus responded to that request. And then the other apostles became indignant toward James and John. Jesus took advantage of that situation, turned it into a teaching opportunity, and he showed the apostles, as well as us today, that the way to be great in his kingdom is through service. So Jesus taught his followers to be servants. Now, according to the verses we just read in Psalm 100, the Lord's followers are not only to be servants, but the Lord's followers are to be glad servants. I don't know about your Bible. I know that this is not inspired. It was written by a man. But under the title of this psalm in my Bible, under Psalm 100, it says, serve with gladness. That's what this psalm is all about. Well, remember that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, Romans 15 and verse 4. And we learn from Psalm 100 that the Lord's followers are not only to be servants, but the Lord's followers are to be glad servants. Every once in a while, I like to present a lesson on gladness because the Bible has a lot to say about it. Gladness is to play a very important role in the lives of God's people. Many times today, though, I hear people interviewed on TV for various purposes, and I notice that sometimes there's a tremendous lack of gladness in our society today. There's a lot of heartache, there's a lot of grief, and so forth. Nevertheless, the Bible teaches that the Lord's followers are to be glad servants. Well, what is gladness? Gladness, in its most basic form, is a feeling of joy or a feeling of pleasure. We might refer to gladness as cheerfulness. So the Lord wants us to serve him with optimistic spirits. In our lesson, we want to concentrate on the role that gladness is to play in our service to the Lord. And we want to make three points. We want to show from the scriptures that gladness is associated with the way that we hear the Word of God. We will show from the scriptures that gladness is to be associated with the way that we worship. Then we'll show from the scriptures that gladness is to be associated with the way that we respond to difficulty. Well, those are some very important points. And we need to be aware of the role that gladness is to play in our lives. I'm persuaded that if we will follow these principles with the Lord's help, we'll be making a positive impact upon others who observe our behavior. Well, let's begin by observing how we are to hear the Word of God with gladness. A classic example is found in Acts 2 and verse 41. This verse tells us about a large group of people on the day of Pentecost who gladly received his word. Now, his word refers to the sermon that the Apostle Peter had preached. And Peter preached a powerful sermon on that day. I wish I could have been there to hear it. Peter was joined by his fellow apostles, and he preached his heart out. And he was told by Jesus that he would be given the keys of the kingdom, and he certainly showed people how to enter the kingdom on that day. But he pointed out reasons for wanting to enter the kingdom. But the response of the people is that a large group gladly received his word. That's an example of people hearing God's word with the spirit of gladness. Well, in his sermon, Peter showed that Jesus is the Christ. Look at verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, in that sermon, Peter pointed out that the people in his audience had murdered the Son of God. But he showed that that was God's plan for saving their souls. And he showed that Jesus had been resurrected from the grave. He said, we're all witnesses. Remember, Peter was joined by his fellow apostles. They had all seen the Lord after his resurrection from the grave. Well, we have to keep in mind what had happened less than 2 months earlier. Now, this was Pentecost, and it was observed 50 days after the Passover Sabbath. It was during the previous Passover that Jesus was crucified. No doubt some of the very people in this audience were among those who cried out for the Lord to be crucified. Now they've been told in no uncertain terms what they were guilty of. Well, it had quite a reaction from the people. Look at verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? But their hearts were pricked after they heard that great sermon showing that Jesus is the Christ. They realized what they had done. They wanted to be forgiven of that sin. So they asked a question, what shall we do? Peter told them what to do in verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. There were about 3,000 people on that day who gladly received his word. The rest of the verse says, in the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now these people who gladly received the word that Peter preached on that day responded by being baptized. They wanted to know what to do. They were told what to do. And they did it. Why? Because they gladly received the word of God that was presented to them. And they enjoyed a great blessing. They were added to the Lord's church. Verse 41 says, they were added unto them. Verse 47 is more specific. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, the Bible teaches us how to be saved from our sins when we gladly receive the message that's presented to us in God's word. We'll respond as those people did, and we will enjoy a great blessing. Well, the Bible teaches us to examine the way that we hear Scripture. Jesus, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, said, take heed, therefore, how you hear. Now, that was his admonition after he presented the parable of the sower. In that parable, Jesus showed that there are basically four ways of hearing God's word. He talked about the seed that was sown by the farmer. He explained what the seed is. He said the seed is the word of God. But each one of those seeds had something in common. Well, it all heard the word. Each seed heard the word. But each seed heard differently. Jesus was illustrating the fact that God's word can be heard in different ways. Now there was the good ground. And I need to back up just a minute. I said there were different seeds. It was the same seed being sown. There was the different types of soil. That's what was different. Each type of soil heard in a different way. Now Jesus talked about the good ground. It hears understands, and obeys, and then it bears fruit. Well, we're to examine the way that we hear the scriptures. After Jesus presented that parable, he said, "Take heed, therefore, how you hear." That's the main lesson he was presenting in that parable. Well, God's word is not grievous. Listen to what the Apostle John said. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. 1 John 5 and verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." If we find that the word of God is grievous, the fault is not God's word. The fault lies with the person who's hearing. Now, the Bible even teaches that certain passages are challenging. And the book of Hebrews describes the Bible as sharper than a two-edged sword. An old country preacher described that saying, "It cuts a coming and a going." I guess that's a good way of describing that passage. But it cuts. But it also heals, doesn't it? Those people on Pentecost were cut to the heart. They were pricked in their hearts. But it led them to obey. Well, God's word is not grievous. And the Bible teaches that those who hear the scriptures with gladness will be blessed abundantly. Let's look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Let's read verses 7 through 11. By the way, Teresa and I have been making arrangements for her mother to be buried. There's going to be a visitation tomorrow afternoon for her family in West Virginia. She will be buried on Tuesday, Lord willing. And in connection with the visitation, there's a brochure that's being printed up in her memory. And there was a space in that brochure for scripture. We're about to read what was included. Psalm 19, beginning at verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." Notice the tremendous blessings that are associated with keeping God's word. Well, we're to hear God's word with gladness. And when we do so, we're able to enjoy some great blessings. And a number of those blessings are revealed in those verses we just read from Psalm 19. When it comes to the way that we hear God's word, in my judgment, we need to strive to imitate the people who heard the Lord in Mark 12 and verse 37. That verse contains a statement that's always been very intriguing to me. It says, "The common people heard him gladly." Wouldn't it have been a great blessing to hear Jesus speak the word of God? A number of people on earth enjoyed that blessing. Now, we're very fortunate that his word has been recorded for our benefit today. But the common people, they heard the Lord gladly. It's interesting that among the religious people, there were many who were antagonistic toward the Lord. On several occasions, they wanted to take his life. They wanted to eliminate the Lord. Not so with the common people. They heard him gladly. Well, that's the right way to hear scripture. We're to hear with gladness. Now, remember, Psalm 100 teaches us to serve the Lord with gladness. One responsibility that we have as God's children is to hear his word. As we do so, we're to hear with gladness. Let's move on to another activity. When we think about serving the Lord with gladness, we need to point out that we're to worship with gladness. In Psalm 122 and verse 1, David made a classic statement that most people are familiar with. He said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Now that's the proper attitude toward worship. Worship was a joyful experience for David. He looked forward to being able to go to the house of God to worship. So when it was time for worship, David's heart was filled with gladness. And sometime, spend a little while studying about the life of David. You will see that worship was very important to him. Not just when it was convenient either. David worshiped under all types of circumstances. He worshiped when his heart was filled with joy. He worshiped when his heart was filled with sadness. He worshiped when his enemies were trying to take his life. And he worshiped when he enjoyed a great victory over his enemies. I would say that worship was very important to David. But regardless of the circumstances, David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Now, what is something that will help us to have the same disposition toward worship that David had? Well, for one thing, we need to reflect upon God's goodness. That will lead us to be very thankful. That will produce that spirit toward worship that David had of gladness. Let's read the rest of Psalm 100. We've already read the first two verses. Let's read verses 3, 4, and 5. "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Well, we need to reflect upon God's goodness, his blessings. That will lead us to be very thankful. Thankfulness will lead us to worship with the spirit of gladness. You know, we enjoy many special blessings, don't we? In my judgment, we ought to spend more time doing what the song says, that of counting our blessings. That'll lead us to be thankful. That in turn will produce the spirit that David had of being glad when it was time to go to the house of worship. Worshiping with gladness will take care of a problem that the Jewish people developed. They developed it on several different occasions, it's sad to say. But let's look at the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. We want to read chapter 1 and verse 13. Malachi was the last of the writing prophets, and he served as a prophet around 400 BC. That's just a general time frame for his service. It's sad, but the Jewish people, God's chosen people, had developed some sinful activities. And God sent Malachi to address those issues. And he had a very interesting way of dealing with certain things. He would point out the sins that the Jews were guilty of. And then he would respond as the Jews would. In other words, they'd say, "Well, how are we guilty of these sins?" And then he'd lower the boom. he just dealt it very straightforwardly and didn't beat around the bush. And he called upon the people to repent. So each prophet has his own individual style. That's the style that Malachi used. But notice something he pointed out in chapter 1 and verse 13. You also said, behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and you brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hands, saith the Lord? Now, Malachi is dealing with the way that the people worshiped. They considered worship to be a weariness. They certainly weren't glad like David was. That particular attitude toward worship led to something else. They began to offer animals that were sick and diseased. And God said, and concerning the sacrifices that were to be offered to him, they were to be of the very best animals. A sick or diseased animal was not to be offered. It had to be perfect. Well, the Jews considered, in Malachi's day, they considered worship to be a weariness that led to a perversion of worship. They were offering animals that were sick and diseased. By the way, the prophet went on to say, offer that animal to your governor and see if he will accept it. You don't have a problem presenting that offering to the God who made the universe. Offer it to your governor and see if he will accept it. Of course, they wouldn't dream of doing that. Well, that's just one thing that Malachi dealt with in his book. But the point is, the Jews were not worshiping with gladness. It was a weariness to them. Well, if we're mindful of God's blessings and God's goodness, that will lead us to be thankful. That will go a long way toward eliminating that problem of considering worship to be a weariness. So not only are we to hear God's word with gladness, we're to worship with gladness. But let's consider one other way in which we're to serve the Lord with gladness. The Bible teaches us to respond to difficulty with gladness. Let's consider what the Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount. He began by presenting the Beatitudes. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5 and consider what the Lord said beginning at verse 10. Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Notice the word that the Lord used. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now Jesus taught his followers, even in that great Sermon on the Mount, when he was presenting the Beatitudes, to respond to difficulty with gladness. That is, to maintain a positive spirit even under difficult circumstances. Now that can be a challenge, but the Lord teaches us to do it. And thankfully, we have some instructions in Philippians 4 that will help us to do that. I don't like to go very long without touching on these instructions because they're just so important and they're greatly needed today. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4 for just a moment and consider some instructions that will help us to respond to difficulty with gladness. Now let's notice the admonition given to us in verse 4. This is Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, rejoice is another way of saying be glad. How often are we to be glad? The Bible says always, doesn't it? It must be important because an inspired apostle repeated it. You know, when I was growing up, if my mama said something twice, you better heed it. Now, with her, once should have been sufficient. But if she had to say it again, You better take heed to it. Well, it just seems to me if the Bible mentions something repeatedly, special emphasis is being placed on that, whatever it is. Well, we've already been told in chapter 3 and verse 1 of this same letter to rejoice in the Lord. And now again in chapter 4 and verse 4, the admonition is rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, we're to be glad always, the Bible says. How do we accomplish that? Is it easy? No. But it is to be done. How can we do that? Well, for one thing, we need to follow the instructions given in verse 5. Verse 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Now, the moderation under consideration has to do with having a forbearing spirit. In other words, we're to exercise forbearance in our dealings with other people. And my Bible says all men. Well, we're given a reminder that will help us to do that. We are reminded that the Lord is at hand. That's a great reminder. And it will help us to practice forbearance in our dealings with all men. We need to look to the Lord's example, and we need to call upon Him for help. Jesus dealt with some very trying circumstances during His ministry, but He practiced forbearance. Now, when there was a time to take a stand, our Lord took a stand. Every once in a while, I think about the two occasions when He went to the temple and He saw some things going on that were not right, the Lord took action. And He drove those people out of the temple. They were people who were exchanging currency and selling animals for sacrifice. They had turned that into a money-making venture. And the Lord drove them out. I believe He took serious action when He did that. But the Lord practiced forbearance in His dealings with people. We mentioned this morning that He was very patient with His apostles while He was training them. Well, we need to be glad that He's forbearing toward us today. And He wants us to be forbearing in our dealings with other people. That's one thing that will help us to be glad always, to always practice forbearance. Verse 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. To help us to rejoice or be glad always, we need to avoid being anxious. Now, the carefulness under consideration has to do with worry or anxiety, and it teaches us to avoid it. Be careful or anxious for nothing. Anxiety will prevent serving the Lord with gladness. Well, we're talking about how to be glad always. One thing that we have to do is avoid anxiety. Well, there's an alternative. The alternative to being anxious is talking to God through prayer. Casting all of our cares upon Him, as Peter tells us, and we're reminded that the Lord cares for us. And as we do so, we're to be thankful. That will go a long way toward helping us be glad always, to avoid anxiety. Over the years, I've known a few people who weren't happy unless they had something to worry about. I've actually known a few people who, if everything was going well in their life, they just couldn't stand it. Have you ever known someone like that? Well, I've known a few. Very few, I'm glad to say. Some people are such chronic worriers that they're not happy unless they have something to worry about. Well, the Bible teaches us to avoid that. The Bible teaches us to be glad always. One thing that will help us is to avoid anxiety or worry. And then another word of instruction is found in verse 8. We need to think properly. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, the Bible teaches in the book of Proverbs that as we think in our hearts, so are we. Solomon said, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We need to think on the right things. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself dwelling on the wrong things. What I'm trying to do is develop a little alarm system. You know, we have alarm systems for different things. The other day I was doing a repair job and I had to turn off a circuit breaker for a little while I was repairing or replacing a receptacle. When I turned that circuit breaker back on, a smoke alarm beeped. That's the way it was set up, to reset itself after the electricity had been off. I thought, I didn't even know there was a smoke alarm in there. I hadn't seen it, but I heard it. We've got 5 smoke alarms in our home. By the way, I need to remember to change the batteries in them. We have smoke alarms. If someone's trying to break into your car, there's an alarm. We have alarms for all kinds of things, don't we? And they're for our benefit. Now, I've said all that to say this. Can't we work on developing an internal alarm that when we're thinking on the wrong things that we hear a beep go off and say, stop it. Just stop it. You know, there's something positive I can think on. You hear a little beep going off and say, I'm thinking on the wrong things. Here's a whole list of good things to think about. Let's read it again. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. It's a whole list of good things to think about, to dwell on, and I'm persuaded that will go a long way toward helping us be glad always, even under difficult circumstances. Now let's notice the blessing that is in store for those who follow those instructions. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now that is a wonderful explanation of true gladness right there. Having the peace of God, keep our hearts and minds. Do we enjoy that blessing by accident? No. We've got to follow those instructions given in verses 5, 6, and 8, as well as other instructions found in the Bible. Well, the Bible teaches us to respond to difficulty with gladness. And does that mean we can't shed any tears? Certainly not, because Jesus wept during his ministry. The Bible teaches that there's a time to laugh. There's also a time to cry. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to weep. We understand that. But the Bible teaches that we're to be glad always, even when we respond to difficulty. Well, according to the Scriptures, gladness plays a very important role in our service to the Lord. The writer of Psalm 100 was much more eloquent than I am. He just simply said, serve the Lord with gladness. In just those few words, he said what I've been spending about the last 25 minutes talking about. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now, Jesus taught his followers to be servants. But he wants his servants to be glad servants. Well, since gladness is such an important matter, perhaps it will help us to begin each day with the words found in Psalm 118 and verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's a wonderful way to start the day. And I'm persuaded that if we start the day off correctly, most of the time, everything else will just fall into place. Well, I appreciate your good attention. You've listened well. But let's remember what the psalmist said, serve the Lord with gladness.